this woman, a believer in the Lord, an intercessor full of wisdom. And she had an ailing relative, this man who was really kind of a miserly old man. In other words, he wasn't very generous with his time, money, certainly. And he was about to pass away. And he asked this woman, his closest relative, he said, "You know, I don't have many days left on earth, and when I pass away, can you just keep one promise?" And she said, "Sure." He said, "Could you take all my savings? You see, I've got under my mattress, I've got $50,000. Could you take it and can you just put it in the casket? I want the money to be buried with me." And she said, "Oh, okay, let me pray about it. Sure, I think I can do that." Time passes, and this miserly old relative passes away. And at the funeral, you know, a few folks are there, and one of her friends, this woman's friends, notices that the woman has this little box, and as she's paying her respects, she puts the box into the casket. This is open ceremony. And then she says, she takes her friend aside and says, "I'm just curious, I don't want to be respectful, but what did you put in that casket? I saw you put a little box in there." She said, "Oh, you see, you know, my relative, he asked me to keep a promise, and that is to put his $50,000 into the casket." She says, "You're telling me you actually did it?" She says, "I'm a Christian. I prayed about it. Of course I did it. I wrote him a check." Some of the young people are like, "What's a check? Is it like Venmo? Is it the Cash App? You got to cash the check." I want to talk today about growing into our destiny, from brokenness to breakthrough. You know, our faith journey is paradoxical. If you think about it, we give up our life to live eternally. We put our own agenda down in order to really move into our destiny. When we surrender, that's when we really take off. The way up is down. You know, it's a paradox. We also know that when we humble ourselves, we then are exalted in Christ. And when we are broken, that's when we see breakthrough. Several years ago, I actually hurt my back really bad. I basically broke it. There was blunt physical trauma on my lower spine, and it was a fracture. And aside from being one of, you know, that experience being the most painful physically experience in my life, I also felt like it kept me from my destiny at the time, or so I thought. This destiny of even in midlife wanting to be in the best shape of my life. I remember I was basically bedridden. I couldn't even get up. And when I tried to get up, there was such excruciating pain in my back that I would nearly pass out. And what I learned was that medical folks would say, that's your brain telling you that you have reached the limit, you have reached the threshold, you have reached the breaking point of the kind of pain you can handle. And so the brain basically says, I'm going to shut it down. And every day, I felt like a day of pain. And the way to my healing was physical therapy. But I fought it tooth and nail. I didn't want to do it. Every exercise that I did, every stretch, every hand of the therapist that went into my back, I felt was painful. So why do it? I avoided the appointments. I avoided the stretches. It took me a time when I had to say, I'm going to decide. I'm going to decide today to actually submit to the process of healing. I'm actually going to surrender to the wisdom, in this case of the doctor. I'm going to submit to the process of restoration. And little by little, what do you know, that pain that I thought was killing me actually was part of my healing. In the same way, today, I think in our journey with God, we have lots of up and downs. We have things that come our way, challenges, some suffering. We're in the valley, we're in the mountaintop, and everywhere in between. restoration doesn't come all at one time. You could, I suppose, if that's the Lord's will, but what I've learned over the years is that restoration comes little by little, breakthrough by breakthrough by breakthrough. We go from breakthrough to breakthrough, or glory to glory, as the word says, Paul says in 2 Corinthians. So every moment of our life is, I submit to you, to us today, that we are, whatever we're going through, we're positioned for breakthrough. Submit to what we know of the wisdom of the Lord. You know, ancient Israel, the ancient people of God, actually knew something about this. We're going to look at the text today, Jeremiah 31, and they understood. They weren't so good at it, but the people of God actually understood this need for restoration. So, if you've got your Bibles, we'll have it up here. Turn to me. Turn with me. Jeremiah 31. Jeremiah was a prophet to God's people for about 40 years, about 600 BC or so. And he kept prophesying basically one message, which is, if you would turn from your ways, if you would basically get low and turn, then the Lord has something new for you, a new covenant, a new hope, a new destiny. But the people of God just wouldn't do it. And so he's actually, Jeremiah, a young prophet when he was called. He was basically a teenager when he was called. He was miserable. He's known as the weeping prophet. He wrote the book of Lamentations. And for a good 29 chapters, before we get to chapters 30 and 31, he's lamenting the fact that the people of God just aren't getting it. They're not turning. We get to chapters 30 and 31 where we'll pick up the story. And this actually, these two books together are called the Book of Consolation, because it's just that. It's consoling God's people to say, even though you have messed it up, you're not turning, the Lord God will actually promise you a new covenant, a new life, a new hope, a new destiny. And actually, if you read into it a little bit, it's foreshadowing the work of Jesus Christ. And in this context, Jeremiah even says, even prophesied, look, if you don't turn, if you don't get low, if you don't acknowledge the role of the Lord in your life, if you don't orient your life to Him, then what's going to happen? One of the things that's going to happen is Jerusalem will fall and you're going to be taken captive. And so by the time we pick up this story, the people of God have been taken captive by the Babylonians. And they, at the time, took captive. But think about it now. Just an empire coming in and kidnapping, taking what we know today as the professional class. What would have been the doctors and lawyers and teachers and government employees and such. They took all of us, you all, and they took us captive. And in this context of captivity, we pick up this story. So let's read together Jeremiah 31. At that time, declares the Lord, I will be the God of all the families of Israel. They will be my people. This is what the Lord says. The people who survive the sword will find favor in the wilderness. I will come to give rest to Israel. The Lord appeared to us in the past, saying, I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have drawn you with unfailing kindness. I will build you up again, and you, virgin Israel, will be rebuilt. Again, you will take up your timbrels, as are like tambourines, and go out to dance with the joyful. Again, you will plant vineyards on the hills of Samaria. The farmers will plant them and enjoy their fruit. There will be a day when watchmen cry out on the hills of Ephraim, come, let us go up to Zion. Let us go up to Zion. Love how this passage ends with going up to Zion. Just a quick aside. Anytime the Old Testament mentions going up to a mountain, the ancient Near East people knew, in general, that when you go up to a mountain, you meet a deity. And in particular, the God of Yahweh, Mount Mount Zion, it was a mountain, and it eventually became sort of referenced as the city of God. But I love that because when you envision in your mind going up a mountain, some of you like to hike, you go up to a mountain, you have a view, and people knew that they would meet the living God. And the thing is that when we meet the living God, that's great. I mean, we would bask in his glory, in his presence, maybe we would fall on our face. But that's actually not it, or just it. What happens when we get into the presence of God, when we meet God, all throughout Scripture this is true, is that the Lord has an agenda. The Lord says, I'm meeting you, and I have an agenda to accomplish. And the ancient Near East people, the people of God knew that as the messianic rule of the coming king. They didn't quite know, like we do, we have the blessing of knowing in Jesus Christ, but they knew that we're expecting some coming king in the day of the Lord, sometime in the future. They're expecting that. And I mention that because if it's true that when we meet God and he has an agenda, the kingdom of God, then we all have a role in that. And as Scripture says, we do have a role. And if we have a role in that, that means that as the kingdom advances, that we need to advance ourselves as well. That we need to open ourselves up so that the Lord advances us. You see, the kingdom of God is about advancement. It's about increase. It's about multiplication. How are we to actually be the vessels of that? It's a mystery to me why he uses broken sons and daughters like us. But he does it out of his wisdom and power and love. But as the kingdom of God advances, we need to be doing the same thing. And the question today that I just want to talk about a little bit, just to touch on, is how does that work? How does our brokenness lead to our breakthrough? Going from breakthrough to breakthrough, or glory to glory. You see, breakthrough isn't bringing us out of our brokenness. No, no, no. Actually, our brokenness is the path to breakthrough. Let me say that one more time. What I want to just, it's a one-point sermon. That's probably it. Breakthrough is not what just brings us out of our brokenness. No, our brokenness is what leads, is the path, I would say, to our breakthrough. So I want to just talk about what it is, why, and how. And so what does it mean, what does it even mean for brokenness to lead to breakthrough? Why do we think, what does Scripture say about it? What does this passage say about why that is even the case? Turn the word brokenness on its head. When we think about, when we have pictures of the word brokenness, what comes to mind? It's usually a bad thing. I'm broken. I need fixing. And in fact, you might be thinking about your own life or that of a loved one when you think about being broken, that sometimes it's a position of being forced into something. Like the biblical Daniel's friends, forced into the fire pit. Biblical Daniel, forced into the lion's den. Jonah, forced into the belly of the whale. We find ourselves, like when we think of brokenness, if we're honest, we think, I was forced into this situation where I have to basically tap out. You know, God got me into some kind of Brazilian jiu-jitsu hold. Oh my God, I'm choking. Okay, I tap out. I get it. But I want to turn that, just for today, I want to turn that on its head and define brokenness in the following way. Brokenness, I submit to us today, is simply the state of our soul that says to God, not my will, but yours. Brokenness is the state of our soul to basically say, not my will, but yours. And it's a beautiful thing. It may come when we are going through a rough time. We may be, quote, forced into a situation, a fire pit, den, the belly of a fish. But brokenness is the ability, the decision. And we can't perform, we can't do works to enable us to get to breakthrough. But you know what? The Lord does say we have a role. And it is a decision, not up here, not a decision like intellectually, but a decision here in the heart. A decision here in our spirit. reach for my belly when I thought of spirit, but not just here, not just in our heart, but in our spirit, down deep, a decision that says, I am going to submit. I am going to surrender. I'm going to give you everything that I'm dreaming about, fearing, going through, and I submit to the hand of the great healer. Amen. That's what I'm submitting brokenness is to. And you know, if you kind of examine how brokenness, what it looks like day to day, it's easy to get that a little bit confused, brokenness with bitterness. They're kind of, if you step back, they kind of look alike. But I think today what I want to just share with you is that when we think about reaching our breakthrough, when we think about reaching our destiny in God, on the path to breakthrough, I believe there's always going to be a decision. There's always going to be a fork in the road to breakthrough. And again, it is steering into brokenness, where I say, not my will, but yours be done. Or it's steering into bitterness. And in the former, when we're saying, you know what, I'm broken in my spirit, Lord, but I trust you, I depend on you, I believe in your goodness. Everything that I see tells me otherwise, but I know of your goodness. I've seen it before. I've heard of it before. I've experienced it before. Maybe not now, but I want to steer into brokenness. That trust the Lord. It attests to his goodness. Bitterness, though, is different. It looks the same. Life looks tough. You're kind of gritting. You got some grit. You're getting through it. But deep down in here, you're saying, I don't really trust you. In fact, I curse you. Why am I going through this? Shows. I used to live in New York. We see a few of them. You might have heard me talk about this example before, but just Les Miserables is one of my favorites. For a number of reasons, but there's one character that, and he's a minor character, that just I find haunting in a way. Like it resonates a little bit, because I've been there. Maybe some of you have. And that is the innkeeper. Anyone ever see the Les Mis show or movie? His name is Monsieur Fenadier or something like that. I guess. But he's the innkeeper, and in the play, you know, he's had a hard life. He hasn't had it good. And in one part of the story, he finds himself in the sewer system, where the dead corpses are, right? The dead folks. And he's picking up their golden teeth. He's taking the rings off their fingers. He's basically stealing from the dead folks. And he sings this song, Doggy Dog World. I don't know if you've ever heard of it. It's the lyrics. I won't sing it. I'll spare you that. But here's the lyrics. It's a world where the dogs eat the dogs, where they kill for the bones in the street. And God in his heaven, he don't interfere, because he's dead as the stiff at my feet. I raise my eyes to see the heavens, and only the moon looks down, the harvest moon. Now, it's pretty depressing, but it haunts me in a way, because I think all of us have at least walked a few steps down this road. Maybe we haven't gone down to pick the jewelry off dead folks, but we've gone down a few steps of saying, I look to heaven, and instead of saying, where does my help come from, we find ourselves in our heart saying, God, where are you? God, where are you? And only the moon looks down. Not the sun, but the moon looks down. And how many of us have ever been through a season like that? How many of us have been through a season where the medical report says that I have failing health? The medical report says the health of my loved one is failing and it doesn't look good at all. How many of us have looked at our bank account and said, I've been in need of a job. I've been in need of a promotion. I can barely pay my bills. Where are you, God? How many of us have been in a situation where our family members, that relationship is so strained? It might be a marriage. It might be with our parents or children. How many of us have ever been in a situation where our children are just off track? I would say all of us at some point have been in a situation where we're at this proverbial fork in the road. And we can choose. say, Lord, I'm broken in my spirit. It's not easy. I don't know what you're doing, but thy will be done. Not mine, but your will. Have your way. Or have we said, we've walked a few steps down this path of, God, I don't know. I look for help. I look for the sun, and all I see is hope. Let me say, that road, that fork in the road, is where I believe our enemy is really putting a lot of energy. Our enemy is, it's really not about the, obviously we as a house of prayer, as a church, moving in a certain way of healing and presence of God, we're going to have demonic attack, of course. But really that fork in the road, when we hit it, it's really about the enemy feeding us lies, half-truths, giving us a different lens to say, all that we're going through today, however hard it is, it's because the moon looks down. We ask, Lord, today that by your grace, that when we hit that fork in the road again and again, that we would choose life. We would choose that path of brokenness to say, we want to be honest with you. We want to depend on you. I don't want to put up a facade in front of friends, at church, at work. I want to be real with you. I want to express even my anger toward you. Like King David did in Psalm 13. How long? How long is this thing going to take? Actually, let's just spend a minute here. I'm going to go off script. Let's just give the Lord a minute to bring to the top of your mind, your heart, and your spirit right now, even as we just hear the sermon here. Let's just pause. And we ask Jesus right now. We ask that you would, by your Holy Spirit, bring to the forefront, bring to the front burner, bring to the center of our attention, just for now, the things that are really difficult. The things that are really difficult. We say we might have been fighting you for it, we might have been blaming you for it. But right now, we just want to grow into our destiny by acknowledging that we're broken in our spirit. We want to acknowledge that your will, not ours, is the way to break through for us today. I just want to encourage you, as the Lord's brought some things to the forefront, let the Lord bake it. Let the Lord speak to you. So back to the what. The what is brokenness is not just a feeling. Again, I just want to recap. We might be feeling weary. We might be feeling down. We might be actually feeling depressed. These are feelings and emotions. They're valid. But that's not brokenness. Brokenness is saying, I feel these things and I submit. State of my soul, I'm going to decide today, work with me, Lord, I'm going to decide today to even submit these feelings of despair, of confusion, longing, I want to submit it to you. So that's what a brokenness is. Now, why does it even work that way? Why, I want to just double click on why does the Lord have it work that way? I don't know the full answer. Why brokenness leads to breakthrough, but I think I have a little bit of insight. And there are two layers to the why. The first is that our brokenness, our being an empty vessel, is important to reach our own personal destiny. Did you know that yes, we have a calling as a church, important. We have, you may have a calling as a family, and you have a destiny specific to every one of you here in this this sanctuary, online, listening. And, you know, the Lord Jesus puts it this way in the book of the Gospel of John, that unless a kernel of wheat dies, it stays basically without harvest. If you think about a kernel of wheat that has to actually die in order to produce a harvest, that gives us a little bit of a picture of what is the destiny for us. Unless we actually submit and we say, again, not tapping out because you forced me, you put me in a chokehold through some MMA spiritual move, God, no. It's a decision that says, I submit because I know how good you are. I trust you, despite how hard things are. When we do that, it gets us closer to our destiny. So reason number one why I believe the Lord has really kind of made it this way is that it's a kind of guardrail. If the Lord just kind of pushed us straight into our destiny, we would actually go off track without dying first, without submitting first. Then our capacity is built. Then we're able to be trusted enough, trustworthy enough before the Lord to carry whatever he wants us to carry. But first we've got to be empty. So when we think about and we kind of work through our difficult moments, being broken, just think first that it leads to breakthrough because it's actually part of our destiny to be able to move forward. The second reason, though, is that when we actually go from brokenness to breakthrough, the Lord has something bigger in mind. The Lord has something bigger, and it's actually his kingdom agenda. It's actually his kingdom agenda. And when we think about how cities and nations and communities are changed, and look, yeah, I mean, we all see the news. There's so many just historic things going on in the world today, even just in our own country. Lots of division and pain. And we've been at it for a few years now. It's been really difficult. There's different people groups, different tribes, even among this, even within this big Christian tent here in this country. It's been so divisive. And when we think about how we need healing in this land, the Lord says, I want us, I want the people of God, my sons and daughters, I want you all, us, to be able to not only reach our own individual destiny, but collectively to be able to move the needle for kingdom advancement. And we don't, if you're like me, I don't always think that way. I think of most immediately my problem, my situation. But I just want to encourage us that we're part of something bigger. We're part of something that is at a macro level. And only when we, I believe, as individuals, as a community, when we are doing this together, then we'll actually see not only revival, and we're big on revival, but we'll see a kind of reformation, a longer-term, sustainable change. I call it a reformation of restoration. The Lord will restore all things. Now, we think about how that happens, and of course, revival is important. The power of God coming down, touching us, touching a church, touching families, where our affection comes alive, our conviction comes alive, but it doesn't stop there. The Lord says, I'm going to take that and use it for my kingdom agenda of reforming whole society. Reformation of restoration. So that's the why. What I want to talk about next is, okay, so if we have the what is it? What does it mean to be broken in our spirit? To have that brokenness? We know that it's basically saying, Lord, your will, not mine. And the why is for us to reach our individual destinies. It doesn't happen. God is not putting us in autopilot. We can't do it out of self-sufficiency, and we can't just put it into autopilot. There is an interaction, a relationship, and to go from breakthrough to breakthrough, from glory to glory, we pass through those gates. The Lord has to be able to trust us to reach that destiny. And when we do that together, it helps advance the kingdom agenda. Actually, let me just mention a theological point, and I'll go into some practical points. When we think about ecclesiology, really the church, there are three functions, three reasons of the church, the body of Christ. One is that we're a covenant people. We're big on that one. The second is that we're a community living day to day. The third that gets overlooked, I think, is that church, or the body, a sign of the kingdom. From the very beginning, it's not just church life here, but what's actually broader and bigger than the church, per se, is the kingdom of God. And the church is actually a sign of the kingdom that is here and is about to come. So what does that mean? Again, it means that when we come to church, when we do church, that it's about community, it's about covenant relationships, and it's about a sign of the kingdom to come. Let me say it another way. When we reach our breakthrough, you know how when we say, we've had it at my prayer meetings, we've preached it, and we say, hey, my breakthrough is your breakthrough. And when your breakthrough, when you get your breakthrough, I claim it for me. Who was the person Holly had a word of knowledge just recently in worship? Who was the one with the foot again? Little Jonathan had a foot issue. So when he receives his healing, and when we say his breakthrough is our breakthrough, it's not just some flowery language. It's just kind of cool. They say it at Bethel or whatever. It's actually grounded in theological truth, which is it's a sign of the kingdom that we're all in it together. Amen? Amen. So as we move in our destiny, you know, friends, there is a problem, though. Say simply like this: many times we don't actually get to our breakthrough point. And so let me just pose a question. I want to talk about the how do we actually move into it? How do we actually really, really have a role in going from brokenness to breakthrough? How does that work? I have good news and bad news. I'll give you the bad news first. The bad news is that many times we don't realize that we're fighting the process. You know, I started off talking about my back, my broken back, reaching my breaking point. Let me ask us this. How many times could it be that what's keeping us, not everyone, but I'm just posing the question, could it be that the delay in breakthrough for us sometimes, if you're like me, maybe often, could it be that our delay in seeing our breakthrough is that we are not acknowledging the brokenness that we have before us? Meaning that as I was fighting the doctor when I hurt my back, as I was fighting the physical therapy, it was a painful process to restoration. Could it be that our breakthrough is delayed in part because we're not giving the Lord our confession that your will, Lord? I don't know. I want to pose that question and may the Lord speak to you about that, if that's the case. But you know what? The bad news actually isn't even really bad news if you think about it. The bad news is actually good news. And I want to close with just a time of, I want to talk about the good news and how we can actually today just experience a measure of breakthrough together. The bad news that I said, we're not, you know, is it delayed because we're actually coming, we're fighting coming under the wisdom, the process of restoration. That's not actually not bad news. It's good news because you know what? The Lord is patient. The Lord will take us through anyway. And the really good news, the really great news, I've got two aspects of this really great good news. The first thing in terms of how do we actually move into it, even if we're stuck, even if we feel like we're stuck today. You know, I've been praying for my breakthrough, but I'm just stuck. The good news first is that we're in it together. We're in it together. Back to the role of this covenant community and advancing the kingdom together. We're in it together. You know, there's this African saying, and you've heard me say it. I know Joseph has not known this obviously very well. And it goes like this. It says, if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together. If you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together. And today, friends, today, I just feel like there's many of us who need to go together. We need to be going from breakthrough to breakthrough to breakthrough. I don't mean you have to spill all your guts just for the sake of sharing it, but lean on each other. Let other brothers and sisters help carry the burden as you confess before the Lord. This is where I am, God. I submit to the journey with you. So number one, how to move into it is to know that you're not alone. We're in this together. Amen. The second thing is, let me just end with this. The second thing is the good news. Our breaking down, our brokenness, is actually not as hard as it could be. Meaning that there was a person years ago who ultimately was broken for us. Jesus, our Lord, our Savior, our friend. And Jesus was the one who was ultimately broken so that we could receive the breakthrough. Jesus broke in. He was seated at the right hand of God, but Jesus broke into time and space. He abdicated just for a moment his position in heaven to be low here with us, to live a life that we should have lived, sinless. Jesus resisted every temptation. He's seen everything. He's felt everything. He was attacked in ways that we can't even imagine, and yet he was fully obedient. Jesus, today, friends, and I know many of you have heard this. You've heard it in Sunday school. You've grown up with it. You maybe have read it, but today, may it actually sink down in our soul to know that Jesus was broken on the cross so that we could receive the breakthrough that we need today. And this path of breakthrough, this again and again, that we're able to actually run on, it was because the Lord did it for us. We actually have a highway before us. It would have been woods. It would have been full of thorns and obstacles. And the Lord cleared the path, cleared it. It's almost like he put asphalt and said, you don't even need boots. You just run barefoot, run with exhilaration because I've cleared the path. You don't believe me? Here's what it says in Isaiah 35. Just read about the joy of the redeemed in Isaiah 35. And it's a picture of what the Lord's done for us, clearing the way. Isaiah writes, and a highway will be there. It will be called the way of holiness. It will be for those who walk on that way. The unclean will not journey on it. Wicked fools will not go about on it. No lion will be there, nor any ravenous beast. They will not be found. But only the redeemed will walk there, and those the Lord has rescued will return. They will enter Zion with singing. Everlasting joy will crown their heads. Gladness and joy will overtake them, and sorrow and sighing will flee away. So I just want to close with just giving the Lord an opportunity, giving all of us an opportunity to just take a few steps into receiving breakthrough. Would you pray with me? You can keep your eyes open. You can bow your head. You can stand up if you want. Whatever makes you who you are. Whatever makes you free. Father, we just want to thank you for this revelation today. I just feel like it wasn't just information. We're not here for just information. Even it's some good theological insights. We're not here even for just a little bit of encouragement. Though that's nice. We're here to meet you. Like your ancient people did on Mount Zion. We're here to meet you. And we confess today, Lord God, that when we meet you, nothing stays the same. We are forever changed. It may not look like it. We may see with our eyes things that seem so entrenched, intractable problems. But we believe, we by faith say that you are changing us from the inside out. You're changing spiritually what's around us. You're changing even circumstances even now. But we've got a role. We've got a part. I feel like today there's some of you, today may have been for all of us in a way, but I felt like there's that, even if it's for one brother, one sister, someone today, a few of us today, we need to make a decision. And if that's you, just in the quiet of your own where you're sitting, just pray this with me. Jesus, we say to you, Father, we say to you, Holy Spirit, we say to you, not my will, but yours be done in my life. Thank you, Jesus, that that was your prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane. You had to be broken for us, and just before you were crucified, you had that prayer. You said, if this cup could pass from me, Lord, Father, would you do it? But of course, it wasn't the Lord's will. He said, not my will, but yours. And in that moment, when he was broken, in his brokenness, there was breakthrough, a cosmic breakthrough for all of us to walk into. So today, Father, I pray, whatever I'm going through in my life, some of you are going through some very difficult challenges right now. Family, your finances, and your health. Some of you are not even facing an acute problem, but I've got many little ones to take care of, and I'm at my wit's end, at the end of my rope. I have nothing left for me. Just going through the daily grind. I breathe nothing in but dust. So Lord, today we ask that you help us. We confess now. We give that to you. Give that to you, our brokenness. And we trade up. We give that to you, and we receive this day the beginning of breakthrough in the name of Jesus. We receive today the beginnings of breakthrough in the name of Jesus. Jesus, you told us that blessed poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So as we're poor in spirit today, we give it to you, and we receive in the name of Jesus breakthrough. Breakthrough that'll be infectious, contagious, and like your kingdom, like the kingdom of heaven, as you promised, will it